This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling yuzu mango IQ mix hydration mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition, great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.
Vasquez beaten away by Buffon, and then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Hunter. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elis! Albert Feliz! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That's a bit of a delay there, me and Andrew Carlson. It's because I don't have my headset on. By the way, I was just debating this Deshaun Watson touchdown, Andrew, with Victor Ariza. Why is everybody mad at O'Brien? The guy's a running quarterback. I mean, what are we going to do, not run him at all? Or does it tell us we don't have a running game? What is it? Because Deshaun Watson, when you draft him, he's a runner, right?
Yes, but you want him to be a little more cautious sometimes, I think, because okay. The drop-off from him to the person behind him is quite large.
Isn't that quite large for most NFL teams?
Yes, but you don't want him to take risks you don't have to, especially in week one of the season.
That's why I don't talk NFL here, right? But he is a runner. Look, I mean, I could break my leg walking down the stairs tonight. Not many people would care. That's the difference between me and Deshaun Watson. But, anyway, 713-780-3776 is the number tonight. We got a great show in store for you. And first of all, a couple of things I want to put out right away. DeMarcus Beasley will be on the show about 7:30 calling in tonight. So if you've got questions for DeMarcus, hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook Soccer Matters. I also want to get your thoughts on the U.S.-Mexico. How down are we really right now? I want to get your thoughts on that. U.S. will take on Uruguay tomorrow in St. Louis. We've also got former U.S. international defender Marcelo Balboa. He will be on the show. He will be doing the broadcast. We'll catch up with him out at Uruguay practice. And then we've got Hugo Perez. Now, Hugo Perez is a generation, it's farther back from Marcelo Balboa, but he played over 70 times for the U.S. He's also been a big proponent of player development in this country. He's going to address sort of the connection between our Hispanic soccer culture in this country, which is through the roof. I mean, let's face it, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable here in Houston. But he's got some ideas on how you connect with that group. Now, he was the under-15 U.S. national team coach for a number of years, probably 4 or 5 years. By the way, it is hot in here. And I can't blame Fred and AJ because they're not here. They're at Twin Peaks, probably drinking beers, throwing beers back, body shots. Why are you laughing, Andrew?
I don't know if anyone wants to see Fred and AJ doing body shots.
Those guys are partiers, man. I mean, those guys know how to hit it. I'm telling you. They're not for the faint of heart, okay? I know those guys. I know Fred and AJ. They're on it like a cheap suit. All right, 713-780-3776. Let's get some thoughts in here tonight. After the 3-0 loss to Mexico, the U.S. are looking to get more confidence tomorrow night. So with Greg Berhalter now, you have a dramatic change in tactics which are taking place. and in some ways some would call it maybe revolutionary. This is a real change in purpose of play. This is a very complex kind of discussion that we're going to lead into here tonight. Implementing these new tactics, building from out of the back, it was obnoxious and dangerous against Mexico, against the 4-3-3. Greg Berhalter spoke, though, after the game. He said, we're sticking to the plan despite the opponent, Mexico, and that this was an exercise and another exercise in the process of grooming this team to be one that can play out of the back in the future. So you as fans, and I've heard others say this, including Alexi Lalas, and this is true, we've opined and pined for a change in playing style. And now everybody wants to go back to being a deep defending, counter-attacking, set-piece type team. Do we not grant Greg Berhalter the time to try and implement this? Was this the game to do it? Now, what we saw from Mexico was a guy that we didn't even interview, Tata Martino, who's implemented a 4-3-3 pressing style of play. He altered that a bit in the second half. But Greg Berhalter, after the game, was not unhappy. He said, we're trusting the process of change that can one day, I would assume, help us to compete against the bigger teams in the world. Now, the question is, do we have the players for that? Do we have the support system for that in this country to develop players in the future that can play under heavy pressure in front of your own goal? And you saw it cost the United States in a big way. And many are speaking out about the steadfast stubbornness to play this way against Mexico, and it cost the U.S. Did the players come out of the match more confident? I don't know. But what I do know is tomorrow, Greg Berhalter has to stick to his guns if this is what he wants to do against Uruguay. But do we just have to blood this team this way in order to attempt to make a very radical playing style change? And that's a change in purpose of play. So Greg Berhalter tomorrow, I don't think any question, is going to play the same way in St. Louis against Uruguay. If he doesn't, then he risks losing the quote-unquote plan and the selling of the plan to his players, which is a process. But this is a real test in his belief and the players' belief in this new system and idea, and he's got to get them to buy in. These are friendlies, which a lot of people are making the point. On the other hand, it is your rival. 713-780-3776. Shed some light on how you feel. Are we asking players to do things they're not capable of doing when trying to play this way? Jossie Zardes is getting a lot of criticism. Will Trapp. One thing's clear, and one thing is clear as day and night, and this is not a slight to anybody, but one thing that is clear is Mexico is technically superior in every single position except maybe one or two, maybe three at most. But when we have a country full of soccer-passionate Mexican Americans, why aren't we tapping into that? How are we not tapping into that? How does it change that we get more technical players here? Every day we hear from youth clubs, academies, telling us about the technical work that's being put in, all the buzzwords, the culture of excellence, groundbreaking training, pathway to the pros. I can go on and on with MLS teams who've said this. And I understand there is an element of marketing to the academy teams. It is a vehicle of promotion, and it should be used that way. But it tends to lean too far in one direction. And there are great coaches in this country. And for a second, please do not think I'm being critical. 100% critical. I am in some ways. But why, again, then, is it not improved and reflected in the improvement of the technical ability of our players at the highest level? There are exceptions. But could it be that the message of player development below the national team remains scattered with an overall plan? Who's in charge of the vision of soccer from the grassroots all the way up to the full national team in this country? I don't even know who it is. I guess it's Greg Berhalter. 713-780-3776. Or could it be the selection process? Are we bypassing good technical players because they might not fit the physical component? Last time I looked around the world, there's a lot of guys that aren't the most impressive-looking physical specimens that are world-class soccer players. We have one of them, and that's Christian Pulisic. 713-780-3776. So are we selecting the correct players for the long run that are more technical and might be shunned due to the lack of physical attributes at certain ages? Do all of our levels have the same type of player in mind that we want to produce in order to ultimately change our playing style? And I understand it's very difficult to tie everything together. So we'll take some phone calls on that. 713-780-3776. But I do want to remind people, today in Austin, Texas, the groundbreaking took place, just like what we had here when the stadium was ground was broken. The excitement, it looks like it was exciting as all get out up in Austin. And from Austin FC, we have Eric on the phone. Eric, thank you for coming on the show. Give us kind of an update and synopsis of what happened in Austin today, because it looked pretty good.
Well, they've been hyping it up. You got Matthew McConaughey up there, owns part of the team. They built that groundbreaking for that new stadium. It looks pretty nice. I'm a Houston Dynamo fan, so it's like on their Instagram page, I said it's the Dynamo's home away from home. They didn't really like that, but building up some competition there. But I just have a quick question. Wouldn't it be more reasonable to have a team, an MLS team, in San Antonio rather than Austin? And will that dilute some of the talent here in Texas with three teams in Texas now?
So you're saying add another one to San Antonio?
Well, no, wouldn't it be more reasonable to have that team in San Antonio because of the population of Mexican-Americans down there?
Well, things that are reasonable don't always come true, right?
Correct.
This, remember the whole process of this with Columbus moving to Austin? I do believe
the Columbus Crew.
Yeah, and San Antonio was... they're owned by the Spurs organization, which is a very well-run professional organization, one of the tops in the country in all sports. They constantly win awards. They were, with San Antonio FC, positioning themselves to be the MLS team. So they kind of got blindsided by what happened with Austin FC. And I think what we're hearing now is we got Nashville, Miami coming in next year. You're going to have, it looks like Sacramento's very close now. So... I think San Antonio's in a different place, and their business objectives as a club, I think, will have changed. I think the Austin Bold, their objectives, what is the Austin Bold in the USL going to be in the future in Austin, Texas? Because the ownership groups don't get along very good right now because they wanted to be the MLS ownership group. Could they one day come together? Could the Bold be the USL affiliate to Austin FC? That would make a lot of sense, although... personalities and everything else have to come together on that front, I think.
Well, granted, I mean, San Antonio's not too far from Austin, maybe an hour and 10 minutes, if that. But, everybody's excited. I'm excited, of course. I'm originally from Houston, but I live in Austin now. Whenever the Dynamo comes, I'm going to support the Orange out there.
Yeah, now let me ask you a question. You have to be 100% honest, because 30,000 people put deposits down on tickets for Austin FC. Did you?
No, I'm not.
I like that.
Austin FC fan.
I like that. You're loyal. You're a loyal Dynamo fan. Very good. But isn't it going to be tough for you to miss out on that energy, or will you be driving into Houston to take in games?
No, I drive into Houston. Like I said, it's only 3 hours from where I stay in Austin. But I drive to Houston every chance I get to see a Dynamo, and the atmosphere at the BBVA Compass Stadium is, it's just a lot of energy out there, and plus we have 6 million or in the Houston metro area.
Well, I got to stop you there, because I don't know if the energy has been that good this year at BBVA Stadium. The attendance is way down. The Dynamo are working on reversing that. When's the last time you've been there?
Last year.
Well, so.
Yeah.
So it has hit a bit of a downward spiral, but the Dynamo are working hard. They're hiring some new people. They're trying to turn things around. They're talking to more of the supporters groups. So we'll see if it can be turned around.
Well, I hope it does, because, you know, we're going to – I'm talking smack to the Austin FC, and, you know, you have to have a rivalry. Both teams have to be pretty good.
Well, the dynamics are going to be interesting with FC Dallas, with Austin FC, and the Houston Dynamo. So we'll see how it goes in the future. Eric, thank you very much for the phone call here. I think that's the cue, Andrew Carlson. Let's play some of this Austin FC groundbreaking. Matthew McConaughey, let's go with the people of Austin are our baseline. Here's McConaughey.
Some people have talked about how we are a music city, Austin. And what is the base of every good song? The bass line. What holds the foundation in any good song? The bass does. What is our bass line? What is the trunk of our tree here, Austin FC? It's been brought up by everyone that's come up here before me, but the bass line, the trunk of our tree, is you, the city of Austin. What do we want? We want a team, we want a stadium, we want an experience that grows the legend of Austin, Texas, and all of us, the people who call this place home.
So, McConaughey, you get instant access to the UT fan base. This is a stroke of genius. He obviously loves the city. He resides there. This is a stroke of genius. We got from the NBA Houston Rockets. We got the Beard. So he's our celebrity guy. They've got Matthew McConaughey. They've also got three other owners that are very, very engaged. One's an ex-Georgetown player, is in the tech industry, I believe. They've got a gentleman from Mexico, Monterrey, who's a big Tigres fan. And these guys are all local, so that's a pretty interesting thing. Here's more from McConaughey when he's talking about the stadium being a home to people in Austin.
Today we break ground on a new stadium. This is home. It's been said, this is home to Austin FC. It's going to be home to events small and large. It's going to be home to the young, to the old. It's going to be home to people that have dreams that are going to come to life. It's going to be home to fueling hope. It's going to be a home where we're going to have some agonizing defeats. And it's going to be a home where we're going to have even more thrilling victories. It's going to be a home, as it's been said already, it's going to be home for this community. It's going to be a home for all of Austin, Texas. That is a major import to us.
You know what's so cool about sports? It can be such a bonding thing, you know? I mean, I'm listening to these words, and, you know, sports can be so bonding for people. They're such a great escape. They can be so prideful. They can be so full of passion. Here's McConaughey now talking about the responsibility to keep the Austin values in the stadium.
While Austin is a growing metropolis, while we are now inviting an international sport that's played around the globe, we've got a chance and a responsibility here to keep our village values, that is Austin, Texas, keep our village values here with that experience in this stadium, in and out and all around it, is quintessentially Austin. All right, that's on us. We can't do that alone. That's a challenge to all of us.
Very cool. Setting the bar. So it's fun. It's interesting. By the way, he had a hip, had a very hip shirt on, like a black country western shirt that had a lot of green trim. So that was really cool stuff. A couple of updates here real quick as we go to break. Kiki Struna on Friday played 35 minutes for Slovenia. They beat Poland 2-0. This was in for Euro 2020 qualifying, which will European Championships will be next summer. He scored the winner in that game against Poland. But then today he started, got subbed out in the 54th minute, got injured in a win over Israel. So Struna getting injured. Slovenia is second in Group G. Darwin Seren, Saturday, played in the 3-0 win for El Salvador over St. Lucia. He came on at halftime, scored their second goal from a penalty kick. Tomorrow, Darwin will be in action against the Dominican Republic. So these two guys are not going to be available on Wednesday night. So the Dynamo are going to have Interesting lineup to be put out by Davey Arno. So we're going to take a break here. We got DeMarcus Beasley coming up at 7:30. We need your thoughts and comments at 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. U.S.-Mexico, I want your thoughts. Houston Dynamo, I want your thoughts. U.S.-Uruguay tomorrow, I want your thoughts. And what about Germany and the Netherlands? You talk about a great game this past weekend. We'll take a King's Court break.
Black flowers grow in my garden. I put them all in a vase.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Tito once again dances his way around Pulisic. Dances his way, and he does with a nutmeg. Pass Des now. The cross into the middle. It's the opening goal. Chicharito scores it, and the floor underneath our feet is shaking.
Mete tú en la marcha contra Serginho. ¿Dónde va Serginho? Centro está el primero. Gol de México.
Chicharito's back. By the way, this is a great song. The band was called Sweet. You do know they play this at Dynamo games. They do.
Let them know, Glenn. Let them know.
Oh, no. We were playing it here way before. There's nobody old enough in that office to know this. I don't think. Sweet. It's a great band. Fox on the Run. Great intro. Chivas Club America friendly. 61,500 at Chicago's Soldier Field. The Bears and Packers drew 62,000. We have to figure out every way to tap into the incredible soccer culture that is Mexico in this country when it comes from a player development standpoint. We are from a financial standpoint, I don't think any question. We figured that out. Now we have to do it on the player development side. 713-780-3776 is the number. We'll have a DeMarcus Beasley on the show here shortly. Fun to now talk with DeMarcus about a number of things, potentially what his future is going to look like. Did anybody catch the Germany-Netherlands game? Germany up 1-0 at halftime. Gnabry with the goal. And then the Dutch take over. I mean, absolutely take over the second half. Malen, Wijnaldum, big change from Ronald Koeman to push Gigi Wijnaldum higher up the field. And in doing that, he reminds us that that occurred in the Champions League as well with Liverpool and Wijnaldum against Barcelona. And he's such a versatile player that he can do so many different roles. You can tell him to sit in midfield and just be a focal point, get the ball, change the point of attack, get others into the game, or he can be a guy that comes out of midfield from deep because he's got the legs to do it and the quality to do it. And in fact, they scored two goals like that. Frankie de Jong had the tying goal, and there was the own goal with the Virgil van Dijk header. That made it 2-1. Very iffy penalty. Toni Kroos would tie it at 2-2, and then Malen and Wijnaldum. That's a huge win for the Dutch. How about putting four on the Germans in Hamburg? Pretty incredible. And the Dutch winning again today against Estonia. And that's a team that doesn't really have a center forward. Memphis Depay today, a goal and two assists. But the move to put Wijnaldum higher up the field made Koeman look like a genius. He out-coaches Yogi Löw. Germany looked pedestrian in the second half. The Dutch, the clearly the better team. And they had more chances as well. No one is afraid of Germany anymore, I don't think. I don't think the Dutch are, that's for sure. But the Dutch, clinical, it's eye-pleasing, incredible to watch. Imagine if they had a center forward. I think Steve Nichol on ESPN FC said, can you imagine if they had Ruud van Nistelrooy or Dennis Bergkamp on that team? Because, boy, they've got their line set up pretty beautifully. But again, the threats coming from deep out of midfield, De Jong and Wijnaldum. Colorado Rapids are winning games. They've jumped up a notch in the Western Conference. New coach, Robin Fraser. And we got the Dynamo in action on Wednesday. They'll take on Minnesota United. You can catch that game on the Cube. Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano will have the call of that game. Now, I've already given out all the tickets to the Minnesota United game, but what I have right now is, for caller number 5, a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Orlando City, Saturday, September 21st. Again, pair of tickets, Dynamo Orlando City. What did I say? Caller number 5, Andrew?
You got it. Caller number 5.
Caller number 5. You got a pair of tickets right now. Giving these out. No family members either calling in from New Jersey. 713-780-3776. You can talk U.S.-Mexico, U.S.-Uruguay tomorrow. Hugo Perez will be joining us later in the show. And then also Marcelo Balboa. Marcelo was out at Uruguay's practice here today. So we're about to get to Marcus Beasley on the show here shortly. We've also got some Houston Dash tickets to give out. Dash went down to the Sword, like everybody does, of Sam Kerr of the Chicago Red Stars, 3-0. Kerr and the Red Stars in Chicago over the Houston Dash. But again, the Dash will be in action this Friday, so stay with me on the show tonight, because we'll give away a 3-pack for the Dash Utah Royals. That is this Friday, September 13th at BBVA Compass Stadium. So don't miss that one. Brazil 2-2 with Colombia. Casemiro, Luis Muriel would get a pair for Colombia, put him up 2-1. But guess who gets the tying goal? Everyone's favorite, Neymar. Ends up 2-2. I'm really fascinated to see the game tomorrow with Greg Berhalter, and to see, I think there's any question he's going to continue to play the same way. All right, let's go to the phone lines. The one and only DeMarcus Beasley. 4 World Cups for him. He joins us now. DeMarcus, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. It's good to talk to you. Excited to do this interview, and I know the listeners are as well. I guess the first thing is just kind of, as the season's winding down, and you know, you've committed to retiring, is there a lot of emotion flowing through you? Because I'd have to think so after this remarkable career.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, obviously, you know, you can't hide the fact that, you know, it could be, you know, literally a month left, 6 games, you know, to go, you know, to finish my career. Now, I'll never put on boots again and play in a professional match. So, yeah, there's a lot of emotions going through my head. Not as much as you would think. But at the same time, yeah, I'll have little moments where, you know, I'll reminisce about some things, and, you know, it'll hit me that, oh, man, I literally have, you know, six more games. And that's it. Like, I'll never do this again, you know, for the rest of my life. So, in different moments, you know, it does hit me. But at the same time, right now, I'm still, you know, I'm still concentrated on the job at hand, and, you know, just trying to, you know, get the first win in a very long time.
4 World Cups for DeMarcus, and you've heard me talk many times on this show about just the interesting nature of his career. So many different leagues you played in. I know you enjoyed playing in Puebla. I remember you telling me in an interview that you went down there because you wanted to put yourself in sort of the Liga MX style of play.
Right. You know, I've throughout my career, I've always wanted to play in that type of league where the focus is, you know, it's football. You know, the ball's on the ground. You know, you combine. You know, you got fascinating players, you know, as far as attacking-wise. And, you know, that's, you know, the football I always thought that suited my style, you know, when I left PSV. So, you know, whether that be in Spain or in Portugal or in Mexico, wherever, always wanted that type a style of football, that type of league. And it just so happened that, you know, the La Liga was the opportunity that I had. And, you know, I took it with both hands and I ran with it. So I think it was a good fit for both for them and for myself as well.
DeMarcus, I did hear you kind of allude to the fact that you feel physically you could continue to play. I mean, is it 100% you're done, or, you know, is there a small percentage in there that one morning you might wake up and you might just say, we're not trying to start rumors here, but you might wake up one morning and go, you know what, I want another year of this.
I don't think so. I would say 99.9%. This is it. I mean, obviously, you know, you never say never in anything, especially with, you know, athletes retiring and, you know, and most that feel, you know, most that, you know, can go out on their own terms. You know, it's one thing to, you know, have the bad luck with injuries or something else that happened in someone's life or, you know, outside of football, soccer, sorry, that, you know, that happened. But, you know, the ones that can retire on their own merit. And so I'm sure those guys, you know, physically they feel fine. And I'm the same way. Physically, yes, 100% I could play another season. I feel, you know, that I kept my body in pretty good shape, you know, and obviously the things that I do off the field has helped me, you know, keep my career at the highest level as I can make it. And mentally, I'm ready for something else. I'm ready to try, you know, to put my heart and soul into something else.
DeMarcus, what is it you do off the field? Because, look, I mean, obviously there's some genetics at play here as well, right? But, I mean, obviously you take care of yourself and do some pretty unique things. I mean, you're still a very flexible man. You still have the lungs to get up and down. This is not normal. You know, you're not playing as a center back. You're not playing as a goalkeeper. You're playing as an outside back, which is one of the most physically demanding positions in the game. So what is it you do? I mean, can you share the secrets? Is there a special water at the Beasley house?
No, it's a special juice. It's a special juice that I, you know, I'm kidding. I'm only kidding.
Something you got in Jamaica, nah, probably.
Yeah, right. I just try to make one. No, I'm kidding. No, but for me, you know, I always say everyone's different. You know, like you just, you know, like you mentioned, everyone's body is different. You know, so for me, you know, I try to do the things that work, you know, for me and how to get me, you know, close to, you know, 100% as I can. I mean, no athlete plays at 100% in literally almost any sport. No one does. But you try to get as close to 100% as you can. But for me, a big thing that works for me is rest. And I mean, like, literally putting up your feet, you know, and resting. Not resting as you're, you know, on your feet, maybe going to dinner and you know, walking through the plaza, walking through the mall. I mean, yeah, you're off and you're not doing anything physically, you know, demanding, but, you know, you're still on your feet. So for me, literally after game, just putting my feet up, you know, resting, you know. I have a couple of different devices that I use. You know, I have two different masseuses that I use, you know, to keep my body in shape. And then literally any kind of muscle tightness, any kind of twinge, anything, you know, I call them and, you know, they come to my house and, you know, they work on me for 2-3 hours, you know. So, I mean, I do things, you know, when you get old, you can't really take a day off. There's very rarely days where I take the whole day off and I literally don't do anything. So on days off, I'm still doing something, whether that's stretching, whether that's doing my correctives, you know, to keep, you know, my glutes, my hips and kind of that, you know, orderly formation where it doesn't get so stiff, so I'm still ready for training the next day that comes along. So those are the little things, you know, that I do to keep. But for me, the most important thing is rest for one. But yeah, my masseuses have kept me you know, playing these last, you know, 3 years.
Do you think we've not embraced the use of massage as much as we should in this country when it comes to the sport of soccer?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think, you know, some clubs, you know, I think take more initiative to do those sorts of things, you know. But at the same time, I'm an older player. You know, I know what my body needs to play. And, you know, even when Wilmer was a coach, you know, we had a conversation. I told him, I was like, sometimes if I come off the training field, if I come off, you know, a game for a tight hamstring or something, you know, you won't see me in the training room. You know, but you have to trust me that I'm getting, you know, treatment, you know, at my house and, you know, and doing the right things so I can play, you know, in the next games. And, you know, truth be told, you know, these last, you know, 3-4 years, I haven't had very many muscle injuries that's kept me out of games. I've always been pretty fit, and, you know, I owe a lot to them. And but yeah, when you get older, you have to trust your body, listen to your body. That's another important thing. And, you know, I have a lot of people that, you know, take care of me. And, you know, I invest in my body, you know. I invest in that. And, I mean, I'm only have, you know, we only have one career. So you want to try to, you know, maximize every, you know, avenue you can to make sure you can, like you said, you know, play close to 100% as you can. And with that, I need, you know, extra time. And I have that with the people that I work with as far as things that they do.
DeMarcus Beasley, PSV, Manchester City, Rangers, Hanover 96, Puebla, Houston Dynamo, Chicago Fire. You talked about rest. And now I want to ask you, and I'm very interested to hear your answer on this. I get the physical rest. You got the feet up. Now, what about the mental rest? Now, when you have your feet up, are you thinking about soccer, or are you able to rest your brain as well? And how important is the mental rest as well?
Yeah, it's very important. You know, for me, you know, football is played with your head. You know, it's played in your with your brain. You know, I'm sure everyone's heard the quote. You know, I think it was Pirlo that said it. You know. Football is played with your brains. Your feet are only the tools that help you, you know, do the things you need to do on the field. But football is played upstairs, and I've always you know, thought that and agreed with that thought. So yeah, mental, you know, rest is a very important part and component with soccer. And, you know, for me, to be honest, it depends. You know, if we win, you know, it might be a little bit less. Mentally, you know, draining, and, you know, what I'm thinking about the game. But, you know, if we lose, yeah, it's, you know, even in training, you know, I don't speak, you know, I'm not a very nice person when I lose. And, you know, anyone can tell you that's played with me. I'll joke and have fun with the team and this and that, but as soon as, you know, I'm a sore loser. I'm a bad loser. I'm a very sore loser. You know, I have my emotions on the field are very different. So, mentally is difficult, you know, to turn off that, you know, that button when you're at home and you want to just relax and try to get away from the game. But, you know that, you know, this didn't go well. You have ideas about this. You thought this could have been better. You thought that could have been better. And, you know, so you critique your own game. You critique, you know, the team. You critique everything that happens in a game, you know, whether you win or lose, but you still, you know, try to find ways that, you know, you can get better. You try to find ways that you can help the team in different ways as far as how you play and how you think on the field. So all that goes into account, you know. Watching the game, obviously, you know, I always watch the games back, you know, the games that we play, just to see if I, you know, in the game, if I play, if I don't, if I miss something. So, yeah, that part is difficult, you know. But for me, the biggest thing that helps me is, you know, is my daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I see her face, if you lose a game, win the game, you know, seeing her smiley face, you know, that helps me get through, you know, that mental block, just thinking about soccer and just kind of block that out and just, you know, think about, you know, life.
So what is the future hold for you, DeMarcus? Because I've heard a number of things. You'd want to be a commentator potentially. You'd like to be in a front office. What is the future? Where do you think it's leaning at this time? Or are you just going to try a few things out? How does it work for you?
I think, you know, everything we, you know, one thing, you know, I do is somewhat trial and error, you know, because I'm a footballer and I don't know much about anything else, that I can say that's going to be my profession at the next level, you know. So for me, I'm really intrigued, interested in being in the front office, you know, in more just the soccer sense, you know. Do I have the knowledge to know about marketing and how we can put more butts in the seats? Not really, you know. But do I have knowledge and you know, experience about what should go on every day as far as the connection with, you know, from, you know, the ownership down to the president, down to general manager, down to the coach, down to the players, down to the academy? Do I have ideas with that? Yes, you know. So for me, being a part of the front staff or front office and, you know, just sharing and hoping, providing and adding experience to adding to an experience to that would be something that I'm very interested in. You know, not everything is perfect, but I think some of the ideas that I would like to share with people and that aspect, you know, I think you know, it's worth hearing. And like I said, I don't have all the right answers, but it's like you said, it's trial and error. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be any good at that. You know, the day-to-day, you know, soccer operations, doing, you know, make sure everything is right as far as, you know, the production and the product on the field as far as that, and obviously make sure the players are happy and this and that. I have no idea if that's going to be something that once I really get into it, I'm going to like, but I definitely want to, you know, try that avenue.
Four World Cups, DeMarcus Beasley. DeMarcus, does it get at you a little bit that, you know, you would have been, you're already in rarefied air with four, but there was a great chance you were going to go to five, okay? I'm going to say you were going to a fifth. The U.S. don't qualify. Is that something you think about? Because you were, I mean, there's only, what, two or three other players that have ever played in five World Cups.
I mean, I didn't think about it until you just told me.
Okay, I'm sorry then. I didn't mean to do that then.
I'm only kidding. Now, to be honest, I mean, yeah, it took me back, and you know, especially obviously when it just happened. You know, I remember coming back to training. You know, I didn't speak to anybody. I was, you know, I was hurt. I was disappointed. I was mad. I was sad. I was. You know, embarrassed. Anywhere you can use that, I was feeling that, you know. And people saw it, you know. And a lot of people, I mean, I don't have to mention names, but a lot of the staff, you know, this coaching staff as well as some of the players reached out to me, you know, on a personal level, texted me and said, you know, we know you're down, but we need you, you know. So it was a combination of, it was a definitely difficult time. Not just for me personally, but just as a whole, you know, I'm always going to be remembered as a part of that World Cup squad, World Cup, you know, cycle that didn't make the World Cup team, you know, regardless if I was on that field, you know, playing, starting in Trinidad, I was there. I was on the bench. I felt what everyone felt. I felt, you know, what we felt as a group. And, you know, obviously I got the, you know, I felt what, you know, when we came back to America, you know, obviously the fans, the media, you know, you feel all that because you're a part of it. I was a part of that, you know. And so I've kind of put it behind me, to be honest. And I haven't thought about it as much as I probably will, you know, once I stop playing and, you know, think about, you know, what I could have done or what would have happened or if I would have done this. You know, you're always going to think that, those kind of things. But it's something that, at the moment, no, I haven't thought about it. But yeah, you know, it was definitely difficult, and it would have been an unbelievable achievement to, you know, play in five, just to go, you know, even if I didn't play, just to be a part of five World Cup cycles would have been, you know, would have been amazing for, you know, for me, for my family. It was something that, you know, I was thinking about as soon as, you know, Bruce gave me. Well, you know, called me back in to see if I wanted to play again for the national team in January, well, in December, for that January camp. And that was in the back of my mind because the whole goal in every year is to go to a World Cup. It doesn't matter how we get there. It doesn't matter, you know, friendlies, you know, whatever. Qualifying those 10 games, that's what it is. We expect to win. We expect to be there. And the fact that we didn't get there, it crushed me. It crushed everybody, you know. It's definitely still a sour subject.
Onward and upward, DeMarcus. Listen, before the season's over, we'd love to have you on and continue some more discussion about DeMarcus Beasley in the future if we can, if that's all right with you before 2019 closes its doors.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I always enjoy talking to you, but no, there's no problem.
All right, DeMarcus, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and we'll be in touch to get you on one more time because I know the fans will love to hear from you again, and we appreciate your time tonight on Soccer Matters.
No problem. Sounds good. See you soon.
All right, that's DeMarcus Beasley. Some very interesting stuff there. We're going to take a quick break here because my producer, Andrew Carlson, is not happy with me. Right now, caller number 5, you get a pair of, make it a 3-pack to the Houston Dash Utah Royals, 713-780-3776. Caller number 5 right now. Nice interview there with Dynamo and U.S. international legend DeMarcus Beasley.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen. It's the home of Houston LFC, the Liverpool Supporters Group. Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. Also, big shout out as always. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They've been getting soccer on the air here for you, the soccer fan. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, are going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, construction, plant, refinery. Daspit Law Firm is going to cover you 24-7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need when you get in the accident. DaspitLaw.com. They're bilingual, and they are proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, second hour coming up, we got Hugo Perez, former U.S. international, and then Marcelo Balboa, also a former U.S. international. So, three former U.S. internationals on the show tonight. That's a pretty heavy, pretty nice guest list here, huh, Andrew Carlson? It's pretty good.
3 for 3 on U.S. internationals? I feel like that's quite the ratio there.
Big night. By the way, we are cutting it short a little bit tonight, 15 minutes short due to the NFL. So we'll be done by 8:45 tonight. We'll go back to our normal time next Tuesday. Again, one of the big storylines up in Austin today, the groundbreaking on the new stadium for Austin. Matthew McConaughey was out there. All kinds of Austin fans just kind of brought back memories to when we did the groundbreaking here in Houston. Of course, you know, I remember all the great Dynamo fans and soccer lovers at that time who went down to city council, you know, put together rallies and sort of really, really stood up as soccer fans. To really fight for their sport, and that's good. The Dynamo have been meeting with some of the supporters groups. If anybody has anything to say about that, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. So, you know, I brought that up about DeMarcus Beasley because that is incredibly rarefied air. If he would have went to a fifth World Cup, there's only three guys that have gone to 5 World Cups and played in 5 World Cups. And we'll take your phone calls at 713-780-3776. Two are from Mexico, the goalkeeper Antonio Carbajal. That's the first person to do it. Rafa Marquez, Lothar Matthäus of Germany. And Gigi Buffon for Italy did go to 5 World Cups, but only played in 4 of them. Carbajal, Matthäus, and Marquez, those three played in 5 World Cups. That's absolutely remarkable. It's remarkable to do 4, quite frankly. Okay, let's you know, let's think about that for a second. But I don't think there's any question that what DeMarcus has achieved in the game is incredible. Young man out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, who knew where it was going to go. Possibility. And you heard how he takes care of himself physically. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. The Colorado Rapids now. I've gotten a couple of wins. When it comes to Major League Soccer, with the new manager in Robin Fraser, there's been a lot of coaches, I think five or six coaches this year fired. The standings in Major League Soccer right now, LAFC still trying to break records here. But we have a lot of players missing, quite frankly, from this international window that are missing from teams that are playing very pivotal games, including Seattle. So the West looks like this. LAFC, 63 points, blowing it away. Seattle, 46. Minnesota, 45. So Minnesota's coming in here on Wednesday. They're probably not going to have Mason Toy, who's been scoring goals. They will have Darwin Quintero. It's a huge game for them because LA Galaxy in eighth place now on 42 points. Seventh place, FC Dallas with 43. Portland with 43, RSL with 43. So, Sporting Kansas City with 37, Colorado 33. The Dynamo are now in 11th because Colorado has leapfrogged them. Dynamo sit on 31 points, Vancouver 27. In the Eastern Conference, it's New York City FC with 53, Philadelphia 51, Atlanta 48, DC 42, Red Bulls 41, Toronto 41, New England 39. But then you've got Chicago and Orlando, 34, 35, and Montreal, 37. That's where Wilmer Cabrera is. So right now, Montreal out of the playoffs as well. England got a 4-0 win over Bulgaria. Harry Kane hat-trick in that one. Kane, Rashford, Sterling. That's a big, pretty nice front three. All right, can you hear me knocking? We're going to break right now. We're going to come back. We'll come back with Hugo Perez, U.S. International. This is a player development conversation. We're going to play a large chunk of what was a very long interview today because we just kept talking about it. There's a lot of emphasis here on targeting the Hispanic soccer playing culture in this country that we know is incredibly passionate. And then we'll finish with Marcelo Balboa with some U.S. national team talk as well tonight. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, Advantage BMW Midtown, Kings Court Cube. We appreciate all your great support of this show. Wednesday night, it'll be Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano on the call. Dynamo Minnesota, looking forward to seeing some Dynamo fans down at the stadium Wednesday night. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. We'll take a break. Big second hour coming up.
ESPN 97.5.